Chapter 2. A Crooked Street. Uncle Andy suggested that they continue along the wharf.
I'll show you where Charlie usually docks.
They passed big sightseeing boats. Aunt Jane stopped at the ticket booths to collect information.
So we'll be prepared for our tour, she explained.
A block away, at open-air fish markets, men prepared giant crabs for steaming kettles. Inside, people sat at tables with checkered cloths enjoying fresh fish dishes. They came to an open section. At the railing, Uncle Andy said, "Look down there." The Aldens looked over the side. Below them, fishing boats, small and large, rocked beside high wooden posts. No docks separated the crafts.
How do the fishermen get on their boats?
Violet asked. Uncle Andy pointed out the metal ladders leading down to each boat.
I can see why Charlie had to dock somewhere else, Benny observed. This place is filled up.
Aunt Jane headed toward the car.
Let's go home, she said. It's time you children were settled in.
Benny skipped after her.
Is your friend Charlie a fisherman and a cook?
He asked. Uncle Andy opened the car door.
A cook? Charlie? What makes you think that, Benny?
Benny climbed into the back seat.
He said he had to fry some fish.
Uncle Andy eased into the driver's seat.
That's just an expression, he said.
After everyone was inside the car, Uncle Andy started the engine and soon they were on their way.
I've never heard that expression before,
Violet said.
About frying fish. What does it mean?
It means he has some business to take care of, Uncle Andy explained.
What kind of business?
Benny asked.
Fishermen lead busy lives, Aunt Jane answered. They're out on the water before dawn, and when they come back to shore, they have to take care of their catch.
I don't think Charlie was talking about ordinary business, though, Uncle Andy said. There's been trouble on the wharf.
Trouble? Henry repeated. What kind of trouble? Uncle Andy shrugged.
Charlie hasn't wanted to talk about it, but I know something is bothering him.
That explains it, Benny said.
In the front seat, Aunt Jane turned to look at him.
Explains what, Benny?
Well, he wasn't very friendly. Benny, that's not polite,
Violet said.
It's okay, Violet. Benny's right, Uncle Andy said.
That wasn't like Charlie at all, Aunt Jane said.
He must be very worried about something.
They slowed down.
Look to your left, Aunt Jane told them. We rent the second house right down there.
The sign said Lombard Street. Underneath it, the narrow road zigzagged down the hill. Houses and flower gardens were perched on either side. The Aldens were amazed.
I've never seen such a crooked street, Henry said.
And I doubt you'll ever see another one, Uncle Andy told him. This block of Lombard Street is said to be the crookedest street in the world.
He pulled into a garage underneath a white house. Benny hopped out.
Don't go inside yet, Benny said. I want to see something.
The others followed him. Then they stood watching as Benny dashed down the brick street. He didn't go far, though, and after a few seconds, he came trudging toward them.
Eight, he said. There are eight sharp turns.
He stopped to catch his breath. Uncle Andy chuckled.
Much easier going down than coming up, right, Benny?
Inside, Aunt Jane showed them to their rooms. The boys had one, the girls another. Each room had a view of the bay below. They unpacked and then met on the deck outside their rooms. The view was thrilling. Henry dug a guidebook out of his back pocket. He looked at a map.
See that tower? He said. It's called Coit Tower. It was built to look like a fire hose nozzle. It's a tribute to the firemen who fought the earthquake fires in 1906.
Benny shivered.